His name is Wayne M.
My name is Wayne. I'm an alcoholic. I just love the way I say that today. It wasn't always like that. Before I get started, I'd like to thank the conference committee for inviting me to this wonderful, special place. Word got out in my hometown that I was going out to Montana, land of the big sky. Said, Wayne, an elder, come up to me. That's a real honor to go up to go and give a lead in Montana. I was eating supper with the elders. I had a hard time eating, just like tonight. I'd like to thank Ken and the conference committee, Marie, for all the phone calls, and I especially want to thank her husband for accepting all the calls, you know. And what an honor and a privilege to be here tonight. Back on my reservation, I live on an island. It's called Christian Island. There's over 1,000 people there. I come from a poor family, a very poor family. And I see an alcohol abuse. At a very young age, I was affected by somebody else's drinking. I had my legs broken. And there were times in that house I could not get away because I was in a body cast. I would see the fights and the arguments start. One night my father, he was drunk. He would terrorize us. He tied us up and he was going to burn us down. And one of my younger brothers got away and untied us. See, a lot of times on weekends, I used to hate drunks, and I knew what was going to happen. I hated drunks. We used to hide in the basement. We used to hide in the basement and in the attic. Sometimes we would sleep in the bushes to get away from the drunks. I hated them. I remember I had no magic numbers when I first drinking. I'm going to take a guess. I remember the boys were always older and taller and bigger than me. I used to look up to these guys when they were drinking Friday nights. They would look like something like Ken, a big mother, you know. So one day I said, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to be like that big mother, you know. So they were passing this bottle of goop around, they were sharing it. It's a bottle of Branton 671B, I still remember the numbers to this day. And they were passing it back and forth, you know, the older guys, and I was very small. I think I was maybe 16 years old, 15, I'm guessing. And I remember they were going like this, saying, holy gee, they grabbed that bottle of goop thing. I loved the sound of it. I loved the color of it. I loved the smell of it. But I'd watch these guys drinking. One guy would plug his nose, okay? I'm looking at these guys, you know. Then he passes it over to his friend. And the next guy, what he does is, wipes the bottle. He wipes the bottle, you know. I just says, this guy probably never brushed his teeth in 6 months, and he's worried about germs, you know. I keep seeing stuff floating inside the bottle, you know. I'm looking at that, those guys drinking in amazement. I said, give me that thing. Go. That's the way. And it went down nice and warm, nice and hot. Holy gee. What did I drink? What did I find? Something spectacular, something special. I wish to pursue that every weekend. Because I remember drinking wine, see, when I drink, it takes away the shame. Because when I was younger on the reservation, I could not bring my friends home because we didn't know what was going to happen. I was ashamed of my parents when they were drunk. So I remember drinking, and I'm one of these alcoholics, these drunks. Are we going to have enough? Are we going to run out? Where can we get some more? That's the way I think. So when I drink, I change just like that. I get that false courage, you know. I'm like that sand guy around here, you know. I puff right up, you know. I grow about a half an inch, you know. I try and act smart. I try and talk smart. And I'm showing off and I'm trying to drink these guys. I think I'm better than they are. And we always ran out. Always ran out. So right away, I started looking for some more. And we couldn't get any more. So I started drinking substitutes right away. I started drinking rubbing alcohol and aftershave and lotion. When that ran out, I used to sniff gasoline just to get high. And I started, when that ran out, I would look for it. We used to go into town when we were going to school. We'd go to Zeller's and go out and get some Q-Tex nail polish remover so I can get that wonderful buzz again, you know. We used to use a bread bag, eh? Remember living on reservation, you know, Kent's got black hair. You're looking up at these guys, you know, they used to use bill cream. You know, holy shit, just like this guy, he's all slicked up, you know. Holy gee. You know, they got, see, back home, we're poor. And we don't have bill cream and a plastic comb. Okay? So my mother always bought tender flake, lard. I don't know if these guys ever used lard, but I did. To look older and to look tough. Me and my cousin Conley, we would get the tender flake and just rub it in. One thing about tender flake when you're drinking, make sure you don't roll around in the sand because it really sticks to you. And I kept drinking every weekend, eh? Every weekend I was looking forward to it. Oh, I love to drink, okay? I love the smell of it, you know. Remember, I think I was 16 years old. We had our own color TV. It was black and white. It was an old Marconi TV. I'm a fantasizer. I'm a dreamer. I used to watch John Wayne, you know, throw those Indians around and shoot them up. You know. So one Friday night I got drunk on a bottle of goof, a bottle of wine, and I grabbed the rifle and I want to be like John Wayne. I want to shoot up some Indians on the reservation. Needless to say, I got charged, I got picked up. And I was supposed to be sentenced to 5 years in the federal penitentiary. And I was supposed to go to high court in Ontario. So did you ever have one of these alcoholic brainstorms? I did. The army was looking for a few good men. So I decided maybe I should join the army. And I got drunk in a small town called Collingwood. They used to build ships there. So I got drunk that Friday night. And I think it was back in 1972 or something like that. So I've always been big, okay? I was 110 pounds soaking wet. So I was drinking with these shipbuilders, and that's when the boat people started arriving in Canada. So in order to fit in order to belong, I told them I was one of the boat people. I was from Saigon. Because when I get drunk, I try to try, in order for me to be accepted with the drunks, I started trying to talk Chinese, you know, I could hardly see. So I kept drinking, eh? Oh, I never did get to Vietnam. I never did get drafted. I'm a failure. And I kept drinking, eh? Kept drinking. Oh, I loved it. You know, like, oh, I used to get hangovers. I'd have them for 2 or 3 days. There was times when I was drunk on the reservation. I'd wake up with burnt marks on my hands and fingers and on my clothes. You know, I even had my own water bed. I'd get so drunk, and the room and the lights were on, and I'm, you know, I can't even get up off the bed and go to the washroom, well, toilet, outhouse. You know what I mean? And I remember I just roll over and relieve myself. Had I patented that, I would have been a multimillionaire now, you know what I mean? And I kept drinking, eh? Holy gee, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know? I love it, man. And by this time, the Canadian government dropped the drinking age from 21 to 18. The biggest mistake they ever did. Wow, now I can get into the hotels, you know? Holy gee, they were laughing, carrying on, smiling. Back then when I was drinking, they had the women's section, the men's section. I'd look in the hotel, holy gee, nothing but white girls and a few Indian women, and I'm starting to fantasize, you know. I'm getting drunk, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. This is so before I get cut off, I was always getting cut off. Always getting cut off, you know. Because I drink to get drunk, and I drink fast. You know, I started to travel. Drunks travel a lot. I don't know about you, but I did. I would get the bouncer. Yeah. Drunk, eh? What a good feeling, eh? Remember I was fantasizing about women and said, one day I'm going to have a wife. I would get jealous if you people would walk in the bar with a girlfriend, a pretty woman, or, you know, I would get jealous. And then I was drinking again, and I'm looking in the mirror one morning, one afternoon. I was drunk. I didn't want to get cut off again. So I walked into the washroom. I went and wet my hair, and there's a mirror, and holy jumping. I'm tall, dark, and handsome, you know. I'm looking at myself in the mirror, you know. Holy gee. And I get cut off again, you know. 1974, I bought a motorcycle. I used to drive around like Cat Baloo. I used to spend more time under the motorcycle than on top of it, you know. Oh, dear. And on my reserve, it freezes during the winter time, around end of January, you know. So they were catching the boat, and I decided it was starting to freeze over. So I decided to go down to the reservation and show those Indians how to drink. I got a case of Molson X, and I got one on my side, you know. So that I was supposed to catch the scoot to go across 3 miles on ice. So I almost made it, okay? I almost made it. I only had about 5-10 feet to go. I got my case. I fell in with my case of beer, and it smashed on the ice. I crawled out of the hole, you know, ice water. I'm scratching and crawling. I really panicked. How many bottles did I break? By the time I got on the scoot, I'm starting to look like John Wayne. Both of my legs are frozen, you know. Remember, I was drinking in the hotel one time. I see somebody like Brian, eh? Holy jumping. Now there's a man. I want to be like that guy. You know? I goes up to him and says, how do you get one of those beer bellies? Oh, they laughed at me, you know? I don't want one today. I kept drinking, eh? Holy gee. I go into the hotels every weekend, eh? Like, holy. I love all the women, eh? I love the round ones, the tall ones, the skinny ones, the young ones, the older ones. They all look so good to me when I'm drunk, eh? See, I would get jealous, eh, when I was drunk. See, all my life, I too wanted a wife and a girlfriend, a family, a house, some place to say I belong, some place I would say I would call home. But alcohol took that away from me once I picked up that first drink. I had nothing. I'm starting to lose my respect where I work on the reservation. The doggone blackouts. I got 4 sisters and 5 brothers. One of my brothers was burnt to death in a fire he had been drinking. One night I was cooking, I guess I had a blackout. I almost burnt my family down. I had passed out when I was cooking, and my family barely made it out because of me. They found me passed out under the table. And another time, by this time, my mother started to interfere. My mother and my father both quit drinking on their own due to health reasons. So I used to come home from Midland to Christian Island drunk. So I had a blackout, I guess, and one morning I decided to, I guess, they found me again eating dog food. I don't even remember that. Then the next morning my mother would get after me. She says, Wayne, you know what you did last week? You almost burnt us down. You could have killed us all. You know what you did last night, Wayne? You ate dog food. What you going to eat today? You ate it all. I would snarl at my mother, and I'm starting to put her down. I'm calling her a bitch. What does that make you, Wing? Son of a bitch. And I kept drinking, eh? That's all I wanted to do, eh? My mother interfering with my drinking. My mother's got a serious drinking problem. It's me. I'm my mother's serious drinking problem. I kept getting drunk. I used to go to the bootlegger. One time, Christmas time, I tried to pawn off a turkey. Nobody would take it. You know? I'd get drunk. Christmas was really bad for me. I used to worry about Christmas in July. Christmas Eve, I passed out on the floor by the tree. My older brothers took the kids off the bunk bed and they threw me on top of there. Christmas morning, you know where I woke up? On the floor. I thought I broke my nose again. I thought I knocked out all my teeth and bit my tongue off. And all the blood was stuck to my mouth. Moaning and groaning if I could just have one drink to kill the pain. And I grabbed my mouth and my nose and I started going like that. So I can have that one drink. Just one. Once I had one, it all started all over again. Yeah. I've been hospitalized 4 different times. I got my nose broken. A week later, the doctor had to re-break my nose. Oh, I woke up in the hospital. He's looking over my shoulder, looking over me. He says, "We better not let you out, Wayne. You're going to go out and do it again." So I'll behave, you know, I'll behave. I'll be a good boy. I got my ribs broken. I got beat up one night. The guy grabbed my head and he bounced my head on the ground for I don't know how many times. I couldn't even comb my hair for 1 week. I thought all the roots were out of my head was pulled out. Oh, it was very painful. I decided maybe one day I'd stop drinking. In Midland, I went to 2 AA meetings. I was the youngest person that walked in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was 17 years old when I walked in there. And they used to smoke back then, you know. Typical Native fashion, I walked in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, the only Native person. I started scouting. I look around the room. They're happy, they're smiling, and they're clean. I look over here, there's a guy wearing hearing grenades. I look over there, there's a guy, he's got no hair. Looks like my ancestor scalped him and did a really bad job. They left her on the side. I go back to the second meeting again the next night. I take another survey, you know. Holy Jesus. One guy gets up here, he's been sober 50 years or something like that. That guy was sober more years than I was alive in Alcoholics Anonymous. A guy walks in here. Every time I go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, I look around. There's always somebody that looks like a drunk. There's a guy that's probably drank more years than I've been alive. I look at him, you know. And the woman. They look like the Golden Girls. There was no young stuff back then, you know. Oh, yeah. So I went to 2 AA meetings and I was cured. So I set out to learn how to control my drinking. Control drinking is like trying to control diarrhea. Once I start, I cannot stop. Pitter-patter, let's get at her, you know, like, all of you. So in this hotel, they started bringing girls, you know, the dancers, holy jumping. Holy, they're going to take it all off, you know, like, I'm a fantasizer. So I falls in love with this woman. Big blonde, it's a weakness of mine, you know, like, she's 6'5", at 250 pounds, you know, like, I need a ladder to get at her, you know, like, I'm just a little sucker, you know. You should have seen the ham hocks on her, you know. One leg would have killed me. You're not allowed to touch the dancers, but I did. Once again, I start traveling. I lose all my respect, eh? I don't care what happens as long as I get drunk. I tried many avenues, many times, to stop drinking on my own. I was never successful for any length of time. I tried religion. I went to church drunk. And one morning, one night I was drinking all alone, and I had just seen the Salvation Army. So I called them over and said, could you come and talk to me Sunday morning? So I was living in Midland, in a boarding house. So I seen them coming up the sidewalk. They woke me up. Said, Wayne, somebody wants to talk to you. He had a Bible in his arm, like that. I could see the purple stripe down his leg and the little gap. So I'm peeking at him through the door. Hey, so I answer the door. Right away, I'm coming off. I'm drunk and I feel miserable. I don't feel like being saved. I didn't want nobody putting up but Jesus to me that morning, you know. All I wanted was a drink. That's all I wanted was a drink. I'm starting to live in total fear. Yeah. I'm scared. Lights are on. I cry at night. I'm lonely and scared. I just want to have another drink. I'm starting to see things. I see devils. I see snakes. I picked up my baby sister. I start seeing worms coming out of her skin. I was drunk. I was starting to hallucinate. I just need one more drink. So, I used to curse God. I used to blame God for every rotten thing that happened to me. All my life, I've been told I was dumb, stupid, and crazy. All my life, I told I was crazy. Put down, beat up. I said, maybe I should drink myself to death. Oh no, this would kill good mother. I am too scared to die, and I'm too scared to go on living like this. And I cried out for help, but I didn't know it. I said, oh God, help me. I'm sick and tired of being sick. My last drunk was May 10, 1980. The drunk and all drunks. I had enough. of this bad life. So I asked to be committed at the Ontario Hospital in Pantang, Wuxin, at the psychiatric hospital. It was Mother's Day. That was my gift to my mother on Mother's Day. They drove me. They were 100 miles. God, I used to blame God for every rotten thing that happened to me. All my life, I've been told I was dumb, stupid, and crazy. All my life, I told I was crazy. Put down, beat up. And I said, maybe I should drink myself to death. Oh no, this would kill good mother. I am too scared to die, and I'm too scared to go on living like this. And I cried out for help, and I didn't know it. I said, oh God, help me. I'm sick and tired of being sick. My last drunk was May 10, 1980. The drunk and all drunk. I had enough of this bad life. So I asked to be committed at the Ontario Hospital in Pantang, Wuxin, at the psychiatric hospital. It was Mother's Day. That was my gift to my mother on Mother's Day. They drove me. They were 100 miles from where I was. They brought her from Toronto to Oak Ridge for the criminally insane. They cried all the way from Toronto to Pantang, Wuxin, and they even locked themselves in the car for half an hour. This is my baby's gone too far. So they rolled the windows down and they brought me out. See, my mother didn't know what she was going to see. She didn't know if I was going to be in a straitjacket, or she didn't know if I was going to be in a padded cell. She didn't know if I was going to wear shackles. And they brought me out, eh? Says, Mom, I cannot stop drinking. I need help. I became institutionalized at that hospital. I started to like it, eh? I enjoyed it. Then new people start showing up. 8:30 on a Tuesday night. Bringing in an AA meeting. My heart goes out to people that go out to institutions to carry the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. To people like me, hopeless, helpless, chronic alcoholic. My dry date is May 11th, 1980. Remember going there, going to those meetings at the hospital with the patient. Remember being escorted to see the psychiatrist, eh? Then you guys stuck out your hand. I went to your AA meeting. The only reason why I went to your AA meetings was for the egg salad sandwiches. That's the only reason why I came to your meeting. At the end of the meeting, they would grab the mop, just like one flew over the cuckoo's nest. I would mop the floors after the AA meetings. They told me to participate. So this one time I was shaking, I was sweating. I don't know what I'm doing there. I'm at that AA meeting in the hospital. So this lady comes up to me and says, Wayne, come on back. We love you. I got all choked up, and I want to run to my room and hide and cry underneath the bed, just like what I used to do when I was a little boy. But I froze, I couldn't move. You're the reason why I'm here. You people asked me to read your 12 steps. Okay? And they were happy, and they were smiling, and they were clean. I was on medication morning, noon, and night. So you people start talking about God, I got scared. So one Thursday or one I stayed there. They wouldn't let me out. I wanted to stay there. So this TV program, you people talked about God. So maybe I too should have a little bit of God in my life. So one morning I turned on the TV, 7 o'clock in the morning before all the patients woke up. PTL, come on. Holy jumping, I said. I have never seen such a lady like this in my life. Oh, she had the shortest mini skirt you could, you know, holy Jesus. Little hooters on her, you know, like, holy Jesus. She had about 2 pounds of makeup on, you know. Eyelashes curled right up, holy Jesus. Holy Jesus. I'm thinking about sex. I'm not thinking about sobriety. I fell in love with Tammy Baker. My medication was running a little high here. When I was there at the institution, not one of my drinking buddies showed up. Once again, I'm all alone. They heard that I was in there. They laughed at me. They start putting me down. They start running me down again. I would have killed and died for these guys I drank with. Once again, I realized I got nobody. So your people told me, Wayne, you should follow Alcoholics Anonymous up. I did. I joined a group on a Friday night. When I walked out of Benetang, I walked out of there a free man. Over 27 years ago. And that's complete sobriety. My counselors used to take bets on me. He's too far gone. He'll never catch on. I used to go to meetings all alone. What am I doing here? Then my baby brother asked me one night to go to a meeting. I walked in the doors of AA with my baby brother. So I want to put on a real show for my brother and people in Alcoholics Anonymous. See, all my life I've had clothes from rummage sales and hand-me-down clothes. I want to look like Kearney, all dressed up, you know. All my life I wanted to have a stiff collar, okay? So I walked in the doors of AA with my brother. I went and bought me a brand new pants and a brand new shirt and new shoes. So I walked around the AA meeting real proud at an open meeting Friday night. Oh, I'm with my younger brother, eh? But he noticed something. I noticed something, too. I'm walking around. The shirt. See, I always wanted a stiff collar. The only problem I had was I forgot to take the cardboard out, you know. Oh, my younger brother, often we laugh for half an hour. He says, oh, Wayne, you're so stupid. You're so, yes, I am. We laugh, eh? And he says, Wayne, we can bring you out of the bush, but we can't take the bush out of you, you bush Indian. Oh, we laugh, you know. Second year of sobriety. I ended up in the hospital because you told me it was going to get better. I spent 1 month in the hospital. I thought I was going to lose my kidney. See? If they can just cut out one of my kidneys, I'll be able to drink normal and sociably again. Have you ever heard such sally from an alcoholic after me being in hospitals, jails, and mental institutions? Yeah. I had got a sponsor at that time, eh? Yeah. Holy boy, did he ever write the calls to me, you know? Back then we, in Alcoholics Anonymous, back then we talked about staying sober. We didn't talk about going out or relapsing. What are you prepared to do? You'll go to any length. There is no magic. There is no secret. We try to stay sober one day at a time. We didn't talk about a program. We talked about Alcoholics Anonymous. What are you prepared to do? It's life or death. That's what they taught me in Alcoholics Anonymous. You want a better way of life? I said, yes. Third year of sobriety, they told me to get active. I did. I started arguing with everybody in AA, you know. I quickly found out what a resentment was. Somebody said something to me or did something to me. I kept re-feeling the hurt because of my false pride. I want to get even. Let me work on it for an hour. That won't work. Let's work on it for a day. Let's work on it for a week. You know, I'm the only one that suffers from that. I was told earlier, watch what you say here. I remember when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I couldn't even do the moment silence. They told me to show up, sit up, and shut up. You can't say that to me in Alcoholics Anonymous. They're sensitive. You might upset somebody. I got educated in Alcoholics Anonymous. When I came here, I could not read or write. I bought the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I read chapter 5 morning, noon, and night. Even when I went to bed, I read chapter 5 because I wanted part of the action. I wanted this new way of life. Yeah. 4 years of sobriety. My dad passed away just a couple of days before Christmas, and I was crushed. Oh, I cried like a baby. But before he died, I made amends to him before he passed away. 5th year of sobriety, I made amends to my mother. I said, Mom, I got nothing to offer. All I brought to you was a lot of shame and a lot of pain. I bought these dozen of Rolexes, Mom. That's all I had. See, I blinded my mother. That's what I have to live with. Because I hit her when I was drunk. She went blind because of me. 6 years of sobriety, holy jumping, you know. I'm starting to laugh and I'm enjoying sobriety in AA. See, I did not come here to die. I come here to learn how to live. I remember I used to feel sorry for myself in AA. Next thing you know, I'm sitting with somebody. He ain't got no legs. This person over here is in a wheelchair. Why am I crying? Why am I feeling sorry for myself? That's one of the reasons why I used to get drunk. I used to play that violin all by myself. Poor me. Poor Wayne. Everybody's picking on me. I was told to throw that violin in the corner or leave it there. And I watched this movie in 1986. I bought a brand new motorcycle. This film documentary about Alkali Lake in British Columbia. So I drove my baby out to British Columbia to see the people in Alkali Lake. When I got there, it took me 5 days. I took my baby out there and I was asked to speak there. Hey, wow. And I met some of the actors that were portrayed in that movie. A year after that, I drove my baby out to Newfoundland, out to the Rock. I started to travel in AA. I am the most fortunate person in Alcoholics Anonymous. Talk about benefits of staying sober one day at a time. Holy jumper. So I drove my baby, a year after that, I drove my baby up to Whitehorse in the Yukon. And I drove my baby all the way to Fairbanks, Alaska, all alone. And every time I travel, I grab a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because when I walk in those doors of AA, you people tell me I am no longer alone. When I could be in Toronto, a population of over 2 million people, I could be the most loneliest person on earth. But when I'm in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, I am no longer alone. A year after that, I was asked to speak in Sacramento, California. I was asked to speak in Las Vegas, Nevada at this conference in 1992. It was holy jumping. What an honor for me. There was over 3,000 Native people at that gathering. I have never seen Native people at such a gathering on a weekend and sober and having a really good time, you know. Wow, you know. No. Because of you people, I've been asked to speak all across Ontario and Canada and parts of the United States. I was asked to speak for the Delaware, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. A year after that, I was asked to speak for the Cherokee Nation in Cherokee, North Carolina. And I was asked, I had spoken 3 or 4 times in Phoenix, Arizona, different locations. One for the Navajo, another one for the Yavapai, Apache, the Hopi. Because of you people in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. Remember, I was out in Nashville, Tennessee one year when I was sober. They talked a little bit funny there, you know. I remember standing there looking around and says, the guy comes up to me, how you all doing? Yeah, me. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, they talk funny. Not used to that, you know. When you come from the bush, you know, we don't talk like that. Yeah. The many benefits of staying sober, okay? I got a younger brother, Austin. He's sober over 25 years. I got another brother, Andy. He's sober around 15 years, and he followed it up with the Native ways. I got another sister, Marilyn. She's sober over 20-something years, and she went followed it up with the church. And those two sisters asked me to walk them down the aisle. to give them away. They got married. They asked me. I give them away. Because of Alcoholics Anonymous. I remember I used to go to meetings. How I used to hear people, how they hated their mother. Not me. I grew to love my mother before she passed away. Because of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I got another brother there. He's sober probably 8 years. Just about a month ago, Bev celebrated 10 years of continued sobriety. I still got my baby sister out there drinking. Before my mother passed away, and I used to go to your conventions in Toronto and meetings, my mother would give me her disability check. So I go to an AA meeting. I used to walk on the ice in the wintertime to go to an AA meeting. 3 miles on ice, 17 miles into town, and I would hitchhike in a snowstorm. Then I'd hitchhike back the next day. What are you prepared to do to stay sober? You go to any length. A lot of us here left our families behind for this special weekend. I'd like to thank you for being here today. Away from your loved ones like I am. I remember one Sunday night I went to a meeting with one of my brothers out of town. 30 miles. We used to travel in carloads back then. So they asked my brother to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. He got as far as the 8th step and he started to spit and sputter. Then he got to the 9th step. And he looked at me. Hey, Wayne, I have hurt you so much. I am so sorry. For 19 long years I've waited for that. You taught me in Alcoholics Anonymous it's better to forgive than be forgiven. It's better to love than be loved. It's better to understand than be understood. This is what you've taught me. I didn't want to be a part-time member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Show up only on my medallion so I could have a big splash. 15 years I was on steady afternoons so I wouldn't miss my home group every Friday night. 15 years. Yeah. I didn't come here to play games. Alcoholics Anonymous is my life. I love it. You're the reason why I'm here. Many of you people traveled many miles. You flew. You drove. Some of you people even broke down. But you're here. I'd like to thank Marie for inviting me, Ken, and the conference committee. They wrote a story about me in Alcoholics Anonymous in the 3rd edition. This vulnerable Indian gentleman traveled thousands and thousands of miles, humbly pleading for sobriety. It'll be many moons before another rises to walk in his shoes. Son of tall man. My mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My brothers and sisters thank you. I think the whole tribe on Christian Island want to thank you. I was so fortunate to meet Dr. Bob's sister in Founders Day in Akron, Ohio, before she passed away. One of the biggest conferences I've been to was in San Diego, California. And I met some of you people in Toronto. I'd like to thank you for being here tonight. I always like to thank you for making me feel welcome when I walk in the doors of our college. You're the reason why I'm here tonight. I love the way I am today because of Alcoholics Anonymous. Some of you people have had spiritual awakenings. I too, the other morning, I had a spiritual awakening. But in my case, it was a rude awakening. I had an elder statesman call me from Minneapolis, I think it is. I've had some of the strangest phone calls from Minneapolis. I am so happy to see the people from Albuquerque, New Mexico here. They need it. We have so many tribes here this weekend. We have the Sioux. We have the Crow, our host nation. We have the Ojibwas, the Haudenosaunee from New York, Oneida. We have so many. We have the Cree. We have people, the Assiniboine. We have many more I cannot mention because I forget the names. I'm sorry, I apologize. I don't want to insult anybody if I miss you. But you're a part of my sobriety today. And in closing, I'll tell you what happened this weekend. I was worried yesterday. My stomach was acting up. I kept going to the bathroom. I'm starting having problems. I have trouble walking. They told me I was going to be in a wheelchair. I said, no way! No way I'm going to be in a wheelchair. I exercise every day. It hurts. But I want to keep on walking. Because of you people. The inspiration I get from you people. Look at this guy. He's smiling and he's in a wheelchair. She's smiling. They're laughing. I want to be like you. And the people from Arizona are here. I'd like to thank you for my life. Dani Magazik Chinenman Gibijaya. Gichaboni. Gichaboni. I cried and cried this weekend because of you. My family drove me to go and get my passport. My brother lent me his car. See, my brothers and sisters, we don't say, I love you. They show it because they're sober. Let's give the conference committee a big hand because they worked hard this weekend.